The title of the sermon today is What I Did This Summer. So I'll go right into it. On the first day of school, students are often asked that question. And if I would ask you to share that question with you, you would have many exciting stories and many ordinary stories. So in my summer of this last number of months was ordinary, but very busy. I officiated or assisted at funerals and memorial services at this church. Worship to God, of course, continued every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. There were many visits in offices, homes, over coffee, hospitals, and at hospices. Soon I traveled twice to Chicago and stayed overnight. On one trip, we did it with King Eddie and Princess Opal. We traveled by Amtrak, and those are the trains you sit in. It was hectic, not because we wanted it that way, but traveling with a 4- and 6-year-old is chaotic. We went to Navy Pier, we rode the Ferris wheel. We had fun, and we would do it over again. I thought what was interesting is that little Opal, 4 years old, did not want to go on the Ferris wheel. Sue and I separately tried to convince her, and it didn't work. And finally, I turned to Eddie, and I said, would you tell your sister that you did it when you were 4 and enjoyed it? And he turns to her and says, Opal, you'll like it. And she did. The other overnight, Susan and I just went by ourselves, a lot more sedate, museums and just a lot of walking, and of course we ate a lot. I spent 5 days at a retreat house on Lake Winnebago, 5 days of silence, and I'm continuing with the naturalist course at Schlitz Autobahn. So I had, for the first time ever, I put on a bee suit, the whole suit, examined the beehive very close up, learned that the smoke that beekeepers use just calms the bees, it doesn't drive them away. I canoed on Lulu Lake with them. I took a powder of flour on a magnifying glass with a pin, waded with boots into ephemeral ponds, for the first time I ever heard that term, and I observed minute creatures under a magnifying glass. And then with my son-in-law, I took Eddie and Opal on an 18-inch track train, and that's the kind you sit on, not in. I officiated my cousin's son's Ryan's wedding and Barron County and officiated at 2 private baptisms. Thoroughly enjoy the young people at Vacation Bible School here at the church. Their energy is absolutely contagious. Traveled to Olivet, Michigan as part of the NACCC search committee, where we chose the new executive director of the NA, Dr. Michael Chittum. And of course, Sue and I ate our way through the Wisconsin State Fair. So my intent is not to bore you with these summer activities, but to help you realize that what Sue and I did was quite ordinary. Many of you had summers that were out of the ordinary. And yet, even if you had an ordinary summer, you had the chance to encounter God. Jesus lived ordinary summers during his 30 years on this earth before he started public preaching. And the reason we don't know much about those 30 years is prior to the time he was baptized by John, was because they were ordinary years. And many times people refused to listen to Jesus, refused to listen to what he had to say because they felt he was ordinary. He had ordinary parents and lived in a small, quite ordinary village. And when Jesus told his stories, he told them to ordinary people. He talked about an ordinary lady who lost some money in her house, and she searched and searched and searched until she found the missing money. Then Jesus declared that each of us should search after heaven just like that lady did who rummaged through her house looking for the money that she had misplaced. Jesus told another story about a somewhat ordinary son who was greedy and demanded his inheritance before his father died. The father gave the materialistic son money and the selfish son squandered all of it. When the son returned penniless, his brother refused to accept him back. A story right out of a soap opera. In other words, an ordinary story of greed. Jesus told another story of an ordinary traveler who was robbed and also badly, badly beaten up. Jesus told us that 2 people who should have stopped didn't. They refused. But a passerby did stop and did help. And this was an ordinary story of those who are expected to help people and don't, and a person you wouldn't ordinarily expect to help, but did. There are many other stories Jesus told about ordinary people in ordinary circumstances in life. And Jesus told stories about day-to-day events like fields of flowers and crops growing together with weeds. Because the stories that Jesus told were commonplace, people could relate to them. People then and now understand greed. They understand people who are stingy, people who want too much, people who steal and rob, people who are vicious and violently attack other people, and people who did not help people, and people who did help people. Unfortunately, we have now labeled these stories. We call them the parable of the prodigal son, and the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the good Samaritan. But in doing so, I think we lose their commonplaceness, their ordinariness, and that's a problem. By classifying them, we somehow put them in a box on a shelf with a tag, and that's a problem. It's a problem because Jesus didn't tell these stories as parables to be put in a box, but rather these were stories he told to his listeners as stories so that people could very easily relate to them. These were stories that people could understand because they were about people and situations that they knew about. And guess what? We know about them too. They are part of the ordinary fabric of life. Jesus was born into a very specific time in a very specific country with a very, very specific culture and lived with ordinary people who had all the common vices and problems and virtues that we all have. The vices are common. These are the stories that William Shakespeare wrote about. And As the World Turned showed itself on TV. And as James Bond movies are made of. And TV shows and other movies. They deal with greed and anger, murder, lust, laziness, pride, and of course anger. And by the way, did you know that the Jerry Springer Show is still on TV? What Jesus preached was his message of faith and love and hope. And even when Jesus talked about ordinary flowers growing in a field, Jesus related it to the care that God has for us. Jesus assures us that the Heavenly Father knows what we need to survive, food, water, clothing. And yet Jesus says, yes, there is concern about all these things, and the Heavenly Father knows these things. But yet our major concern in life should be for justice, to strive for mercy and righteousness, and of course, love, all of this in faith. What Jesus preached and what he asks of us is to have purity of heart, to be a generous person, to be a hard worker, zealous, to forgive over and over and over again, to be kind to others, to do good, and to know who we are, which leads to a humble attitude. Many years later, after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, and after his own conversion, St. Paul was thinking about what Jesus taught. And probably when Paul walked past the slave market, he wrote how Jesus redeemed us and made us free. We were slaves and are now free. And another time, I think, when Paul was pondering Jesus' stories and their connection with earlier scripture, including the Torah, Paul grasped the supreme importance of an impact of faith and hope. Paul afterward wrote to the Roman community in Corinth. The Christian community in Rome. And this is what he wrote because this is what the reading was today. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And then Paul continued with a prayer, as he often did in his letters. He prayed for both the congregation in Rome, and the prayer is for us today, this congregation in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. May the God of steadfastness and the God of encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Jesus Christ, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul continues his prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul is convinced that all Scripture was written for our encouragement. All Scripture was written so that we may be steadfast in what we believe and that we may be invigorated by what Jesus taught us using ordinary stories to help us understand more about God, help us in our search for God, and give us guidance in our daily lives in living with God and Jesus. And isn't that what Scripture is? The divine reaching out to us and the varied responses of diverse people over the course of centuries in their response to God reaching out to us. There's a minister, Edmund Stanley, who died just a few years ago, and he wrote this about Scripture, both the Old and New Testament. Scripture is the story of living, sweating, rejoicing, struggling, dying men and women, just like you, just like me. And the story tells of a God not apart from our daily lives, but smack in the middle of them. So it's my story too, and your story. Rejoice in it. Give thanks and sing, for the hope is not fanciful or ephemeral. It is rooted in the God who enters into the dirt and dust and joys of life precisely where you are now, just like a child in the dust and dirt and joy of a stable. I mentioned ephemeral ponds before, but that is their name. And I had learned also about ephemeral plants. And when I found this passage by Reverend Stanley, I thought it interesting that he talks about ephemeral also. So maybe it's, as they would say on Sesame Street, which I've grown to love and when the kids are over, that ephemeral maybe is the word for today. It passes as part of the ordinary fabric of life. So this morning I share with you some of the ordinary things that I did this summer, as you can share stories with me and one another. And what we do know is that the ordinary events which happen to us with the people we know and love all bring us closer to the God who created us and cherishes us. I strongly believe that the stories Jesus told us want to continue to take us to the ordinary, to see God in every common situation, every person, every routine activity, and including somehow every sin, as well as every good deed. So next time you enjoy a sunset, you can remember your science course, because the sunset occurs within the visible range of light. Red light waves are scattered the least by atmospheric gas molecules. So at sunrise and sunset, when the sunlight travels a long path through the atmosphere to reach our eyes, the blue light has been mostly removed, leaving mostly red and yellow light remaining. This is good to know because God is great and His power is immense. But at the same time, enjoy the beautiful yet ordinary setting of the sun and let it take you to God. And then allow all of the ordinary, the commonplace, the everyday lead us as Jesus was led by the ordinary things around Him to God our Father. Amen.
We come now to that part of our service for personal and silent prayers. And normally at this time, we'd share with you those who are in Caring Corner. And I'm pleased to say that there has been a sudden outbreak of health amongst our congregation. That's not to say there aren't many issues, even amongst those of us gathered here this morning. You know your friends and the issues that they're dealing with, issues of health, issues of finance, issues of relationships. So even though their names are known only to God, let us lift them up in silent prayer, each from his own heart, each in her own way. Let us pray.
Lord, the goods that we offer are gifts from you. Our lives with all their freedom, but also our distracted minds and our often weak wills and failing memories. These are our gifts to you. Lord God, hear our simple prayer. When we are weak, be our strength. When we doubt, be our faith. When we are discouraged, be our hope. And Lord God, when we are lost, Lord Father, come and find us. When we're hungry, be our food. When we're thirsty, be our drink. When we're in darkness, be our light. And when we are sad, be our comfort and our joy. Let us feel your touch in all we say and do, so that we may grow and blossom in your love. Grant us this, Lord, and there's nothing more than we need or want until we see you face to face. And now, Lord, take all we have and all we are. Give us your love and your grace. And with these, then, Lord, we are full. Amen.